This message is one of the Times Square Church pulpit series. It was recorded in the sanctuary of Times Square Church in Manhattan, New York City. Other tapes are available by writing World Challenge, P.O. Box 260, Lindale, Texas, 75771, or calling 903-963-8626. You are welcome to make additional cassettes of this message for free distribution to friends. However, for all other forms of reproduction or electronic transmission, existing copyright laws apply.
My message this morning, don't lose your song. Don't lose your song. I want you to go to Revelation, the 14th chapter. 14th chapter of Revelation. Starting at verse 1 to verse 5. I'll wait for just a moment till those in the annex and all those here in the auditorium get to Revelation 14. I hear the rustling of the leaves. Let's get quickly to it, all right? And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. No man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and the Lamb. In their mouth was found no guile. They are without fault before the throne of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the song that you have put in my heart. And I thank you for the song that you put in the heart of your beloved ones. And we thank you, Lord, for the quickening of the Holy Spirit. And I ask, Lord, that you allow me to have this moment with this people, to encourage and lift up spirits that are cast down. Those who, Lord, who are going through trials, Lord, we see that in times of testing and trial, the utter faithfulness of our God. Every promise is true. Every promise is true. We honor you this day, and we lift our hearts in praise and adoration, saying, God is faithful. God is good. And we give you praise and honor. Lord, honor your word today. Lord, you've sent people here today who need to hear what I have to say, what you have put in my heart. Lord, this is a divine appointment, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in the 14th chapter of Revelation, we're introduced to a great host of redeemed that are standing before the Lamb of God, 144,000. Now, the Jehovah Witnesses claim that they are or were the 144,000. That is, until they reached 200,000 members, and they had to do away with this theology in great measure. The 144,000 is the figure of speech. In fact, it's a Hebrew formula of multiples of 12. It's a way Hebrews multiplied. And it simply means innumerable numbers. Innumerable numbers stood before the throne of God. Mount Zion here is the New Jerusalem and the eternal city of God. This great multitude gathered before the Lamb are virgins. These are those who are justified by faith. These who are, we are the virgins. If you're under the blood of Jesus Christ, you're a virgin. You're one of His. And I see this clearly as the saints of God before the throne. What a sight, that great redeemed multitude that had been given harps. Now, folks, I've heard 100 banjos played at one time. And what a sound that was. It's just spine tingling. But can you imagine, I don't know how it happens, but we're going to be given harps and stringed instruments. Now, evidently, we're going to be given talent to play them. Pastor Carter knows how to play. I have no idea how to play a stringed instrument. And Pastor Neil has no idea how to sing. I believe me, I sit next to him here. And now, don't worry, folks, I still have the anointing. You know, you listen to the theologies prevalent today. Some believe this gathering in Revelation 14 represents the first fruits of the redeemed. Others that they're the raptured believers, and others teach that there's a special kind of overcomer, and they're the first fruits of the first resurrection. But the scripture says this, this multitude of redeemed, and I see them strictly as those who are the beloved of the Lord, are virgins, they are without fault before the throne of God. It could be nothing more than the redeemed by the blood of Christ. And they're standing before the throne, they're surrounding the throne on a sea of glass. Now this is glass as crystal. In other words, they're literally standing out there. It represents the purity. And it talked about fire, the purity that came out of fire. These are those that are standing now, not on their own righteousness, not only their own goodness, but they're standing now on the absolute crystal clear holiness of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it's going to be eternal testimony. There we stand with nothing of our own. We stand only on His righteousness, which is by faith. And equipped with harps. Now, folks, do I believe in a literal praise meeting in glory? With literal bodies, with hands, eyes and feet and hair, whatever it may be. I don't know if it's hair, but we're going to have bodies, the scripture says. And I believe these are actual instruments. And I believe it's going to be one of the most incredible moments. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be surrounded. Pastor Carter is going to be somewhere in the crowd. All the saints of God, our choir is going to be there singing with instruments. And this is going to be a praise meeting around the throne of God. We're going to see Him as He is. I tell you, if Peter, James, and John can recognize somehow, maybe spiritually, intuitively, that they recognize Moses and who is the other with him? Elijah. Moses and Elijah. Surely we're going to recognize. We shall know as we've been known, the scripture says. We'll know each other. Not just by features, but spiritual intuitiveness. And we have an eternity to get the round, make the rounds. The Peter, James, and John and everybody here. Times Square Church, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a day that will be. Hallelujah. The Bible says that there's going to be a song that we sing. Now keep in mind, it's clearly stated, this song before the throne is something that is learned on earth. Chapter 14, verse 3, and they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the beast. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000. No man can learn it in heaven. The angels can't sing it. This is a song that only we can sing, only we who are redeemed. And it's called the Song of Moses and the Lamb as a testimony. And I'll give you the scriptures on that in just a few moments. The first part of this song, you know, there are two parts to this song. One is part of it is that which we sing naturally and exuberantly after prayer has been answered. We see miracles happen. God leads us and guides us. A number of years ago, I preached a message called The Right Song on the Wrong Side. That's the song that Israel sang on the deliverance side. Now, that came extemporaneously. It just came exuberantly because they had seen the victory and their enemies are defeated. And it's just something that rises in the heart. A great song of praise, and they dance before the Lord. It was the right song, but it was on the wrong side. And that's not my message today, but I bring that to your attention. I'll go to Exodus 15 and I'll show you that the song that is natural to us. Exodus 15th chapter. Because this is not the song we're going to sing before the throne. Exodus 15th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. Now see, They've just come through. Now, folks, get this in mind, please. Just the day before, and many hours before, they had been murmuring, they'd been complaining, there was no song. And now that they've seen all of the Egyptians swept away by the waters, they see their enemies destroyed, and now they sing. Moses and the children of Israel sang this song unto the Lord. That's the song of the Lamb. And spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider he hath thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He's become my salvation. He's my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord's a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host he's cast into the sea. His chosen captives also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom of the sea. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed the enemy to pieces. In thy greatness, thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against us. Folks, you see how exuberant. That's the right song. But certainly it's the wrong time and the wrong side. It's the song they should have been singing by faith on the other side in the time of testing, in the time of trial. This is not the song of the Lamb. This is a song of nature. This is the song of just gratitude after the fact. And anybody can sing that. We sing it all the time. We come to church. God answers prayer. God met your financial need. That's not a testimony. That's not a testimony. Thank God the Lord will accept your gladness of heart. And he said we're to be grateful. We're to be thankful for every deliverance. But the scripture says they saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. But this is what they were singing on the other side. Here's what was happening when it looked hopeless. When prayers didn't seem to be answered, they were saying, because there were no graves in Egypt, you've taken us away to die in this wilderness. Why have you dealt so with us? Bring us forth out of Egypt. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in this wilderness. The next day they're singing victory. The next day they're saying, what a mighty God we serve. The next day they're dancing. But 3 days later, they lost their song. 3 days later, they're back again. They went 3 days, the scripture said, to the waters of Marah, and the people again murmured against Moses. 3 days. Some of us don't last 3 days. God answers a prayer. God does something miraculous. God leads supernaturally, and we come to church, and we can dance, and we can clap our hands, and we can be the loudest in the house. And we can testify to everybody, what a mighty God I serve. God has been faithful. God has been good to me. And then the trial hits again, something more severe, perhaps another crisis. You get a telephone call, something goes wrong, and back to murmuring and back to complaining. So many sing this victory song, but only if there is no difficulty in their life. That's not the song that we're going to sing before the throne of God. A lot of people don't know how to sing in the rain. They like to sing in the sunshine, but they don't know how to sing in the rain. When things get tight, death, sorrow, trouble, pain, financial difficulties, family problems, marriage problems, whatever it may be. And I couldn't describe the kinds of problems that are gathered here together in the annex and overflow rooms and here to the thousands hearing me this morning. Those that will hear this message on tape, perhaps. What kind of song do you have? What kind of testimony do you have of the faithfulness and the goodness of God? You see, when the Israelites were taken captive to Babylon, the scripture says they hung up their harps and they lost their song. And by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We remembered how good it was when the sun was shining. We remember when there were no problems and everything was wonderful. We wept when we remembered all of that. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing to us one of the songs of Zion. And we answered, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You see, I believe that these Babylonian soldiers that were herding these people into captivity had heard about their song. They'd heard of the dancing, and they'd heard of, if you go to Israel today, you see the, especially the Orthodox and the Christians, they're still in circles and dancing and in stringed instruments. And these are hard-bitten soldiers who have worshipped false gods that left them empty and dry. And everywhere they turned, there was nothing but pain and no hope, nothing to give them strength. And I believe it was a plea. It was not a command. It was, please, please, sing us some of your songs that you sang in Jerusalem. Before all these things happened to you, what that song we've heard about. And I believe it was a plea. Please tell us that there's a God somewhere that hears you and answers you in trouble. You're in trouble. Please sing us a song. Let us hear a dance. Let us hear something from you. No matter how you feel, no matter what you're going through, is yours just a good time, God, or are you just like the rest of us, heathen? Would you give us a song? Take down your harps for a moment and sing. Sure, you're heavy-hearted, but you talk about a God that you serve who is mighty. You talk about His glorious deliverance, how He delivered you from the Red Sea. You talk about all these great deliverances. Well, where's your song? They wanted to hear. They wanted to know, just like everybody on your job and everybody in this city round, they want to hear somebody. They want to hear a Christian somewhere that they know is in trouble and going through hard times that can still sing a song. And not really, here they are weeping and crying. Now, you say, well, is God that hard that He demands a song when you're hurting and you're weeping and you're crying? No, it's no sin to weep. We've got a patient, loving God. I've cried a river of tears. But you see, that song it's not a song you sing verbally often. But there's evidence that song is sung inside the heart of the faithfulness of God. Lord, you know what you're doing. You know where you're going. My part is just to lay back in the arms of Jesus and rest. And let His song rise. And let my countenance show it. Weep in quiet. Weep in private. Get all your crying out, because that's part of nature for healing process. That's fine. But when you stand before the world, take out your harp. You stand before the world saying, I have a song in my heart, and I want you to know the gospel I preach is real. So you're going through a hard time. You've been buffeted and pushed around and unappreciated, taken for granted perhaps. Maybe you sit here this morning numbed by some anguish. Oh, but how the world is longing for a song. I saw it in the hospital this past week when Debbie ran around with a quiet little smile on her face, embracing mothers, weeping with them, but talking about the hope we have in Christ. The doctor's amazed. One doctor said, I've never seen anything like this in this hospital. Because there was a song in the room. There was a peace of God. that passeth all understanding. Now consider the other part of the song, the part that has to be learned. This is the part that John, the Revelator, song, the redeemed singing. The Bible says they sang the song of Moses and the Lamb before the throne as a testimony. The song has to be learned not by angels. They've never been tested. They've not been tried. Deuteronomy 31:14, the Lord said to Moses, "The days approach that you must die." And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud and stood over the door of the tabernacle. Does God give His holy servants intimations of impending death? Absolutely. Moses, it's time to go. Moses, I'm taking you home. You'll find that all through the Scripture. You'll find prophets, you'll find those who walk with God have that intimation. The apostles had it. I know what this experience is about. God spoke, though, just before He gave him this word. I want you to go to Deuteronomy 31. And what a tragic word in the flesh. Looking at it from the flesh, from the human side, it's almost crushing. It's mind-boggling what God told this man just prior to telling him he was going to go home. Deuteronomy 31. Start verse 16, 31. Verse 16, beginning to read. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers." In other words, I'm taking you home. "And this people will rise up." Now, how would you like to be a pastor of these millions of people? For 38 years, he's buried over a million. I don't know how many a day that would be. But it's mind-boggling. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people rise up and go whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whether they go to be among them, will forsake me, break my covenant which I've made with them. My anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them. They shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? I'll surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they have wrought and that they have turned unto other gods. Now therefore write ye this song for you and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. When I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, floweth milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxed fat. Then will they turn unto the other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenants. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, but shall not be forgotten out of the mouth of their seed." Now look at that. It shall not be forgotten out of the mouth of their seed. We are the seed. It shall never be forgotten. He said there has to be someone with this testimony. There has to be a body. There has to be a people that maintain and know this song and practice it. Now he wrote out the words and he gave the music. He gave out the music song. Now we don't know the tune, but we do know the words of this song. "Many evils and troubles are befallen them. This song shall testify against them. It shall never be forgotten." And listen to Moses himself speaking in verses 27 and 29. "I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. When I'm yet alive with you this day, you've been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? For I know that after my death, you utterly corrupt yourselves. You're going to turn aside. Evil shall betake you in the latter days because you do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands." But yet, here it stands, the word of Moses, and this was the song of Moses and the Lord, or the Lamb. He said, this song shall be a witness. This song shall be a testimony. And folks, you can talk about testifying for Jesus. You can talk about going out, passing out tracts and witnessing. But let me tell you where the real testimony is. It is right here, the very thing that I'm talking about now. When you, in your deepest trial and in your crisis, when everything looks black and there's nothing but rain and thunder, you're going through the time and crisis of your life. The testimony is that you maintain, you have learned and practiced the song, and you have learned it in small incidences at first. And every time that your trial, it could have been finances, and you trusted God in your finances, and you learned of the faithfulness of God. You go to the next step, another trial, and you didn't murmur, and you didn't complain, and you're learning this song. Bible says on that day, only those who've learned the song. And how can it be learned except through trial? They've learned the song of the faithfulness of Almighty God. The utter faithfulness of God in times of trial and testing. His songs will be a testimony as a witness. Oh, folks, be careful how you react in your time. The sorrow, anguish, crisis. Be very, very careful how you speak. Now, there may be a natural utterance that just comes out, oh, God, I don't understand. All right, you don't understand. Go now to that which you've learned. Go back and lean on all the miracles God has performed in the past and all the deliverance. He said, remember. Remember and maintain that song. God is faithful. God knows what He's doing. God has everything under control. My part is to trust that, to trust His Word. We're going to be judged by our words. In the night, His song shall be with me. Psalm 42:8. In Psalm 71, David said, Thou which hast shown me great and sore troubles. Now think of that, great and sore, awful troubles. Shall quicken me again and bring me up from the depths. O my God, unto Thee will I sing with a harp. Lord, You're going to bring me out of this. I have a season. Yes, He'll allow you a time. I've met people on the street from this church, grocery stores, restaurants. There's a sister here this morning came with a cane. She was in an accident. She didn't know a day without pain. Incredible pain. She has to take pain medication or she couldn't survive. The pain medication just destroys her. She said, there's just terrible side effects. But right in the middle of the grocery store, she had a smile on her face and she said, Brother Dave, I trust the Lord. God's good. That's the testimony. That's the song of Moses and of the Lamb. She was maintained in her hard times. Thou which has shown me great and sore troubles, so quicken me again and bring me up from the depths. O my God, unto Thee will I sing with a harp. Hallelujah. See, Moses is now on his way to Mount Nebo. He has to go through the plain of Moab. It's quite a trip. Now, folks, he could have gone on this last trip. He knows he's going to meet the Lord, and yet this something in him, he so wanted to see the promised land. He wanted to set his foot on the promised land. And all of this weight on him, after all these years of meekly teaching these people, of fasting and praying 40 days at a time, and coming down out of the mountain, they've seen glory on my face, and all the things that God had done, the miracles of deliverance, and yet he knows that not one of those he brought out of Egypt, not one of those men, not one of their wives will enter the promised land except Joshua and Caleb. And only their children are going to go in. And he knows God's told him that even the children are going to wax fat and prosperous and forget God. I would think, Lord, I've been a total failure. I have nothing to show for my ministry all these years. I have nothing to show. But you see, this man is not going to go out disillusioned. He's not going to go out downcast because he's got a song. He has known the faithfulness of God and he learned it. He learned it in the wilderness for 40 years and then leading Israel for 40 more years. He had learned to trust God in his faithfulness. This song that he's singing now is not some nonchalant little ditty, a meaningless ditty. No, it's more than that. This man knows that he's been faithful with God and he's going to stand before God and answer for one thing. I've been faithful to trust you, God, through it all. I trusted you when everything looked impossible. I trusted you when everything that I hear, everything that I see is contrary to bringing me comfort. Now I've trusted you, O God. He goes to Mount Nebo. And he's learned a song. Deuteronomy 33. There are a couple of verses I want you to see. Chapter 33 of Deuteronomy. Verses 26 to 29. Beginning verse 26. There's none like unto the God of Jeshurun. Folks, look at me for just a minute. You understand what this man in the flesh would have to, seemingly would go through with this knowledge. Even to the latter days, as far as you can see in history, there would be failure among God's people because they had no song. Because they would murmur and complain. All the way as far as you can see into eternity, there will be a mass of people, supposedly God's people, called by His name. And these people are going to have no song. They're going to lose their song. They'll sing this natural song. They'll sing it when there are little victories happen, but they will not be the testimony. And yet this man maintains his testimony right up to the last hour. And this is the testimony. There's none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rides upon the heaven in thy help, in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This man says, I don't understand this, but I've got everlasting arms under me. There is no God like the God I serve. Underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land. The corn and wine also as heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. The shield of thy help, and who's the sword of thy excellence? Thy enemies shall be found liars unto thee. Thou shalt tread upon their high places. Now that is the song of Moses and the Lamb. Listen to it. How glorious it is. God rides upon the heavens to your rescue is what he's saying. God is still in heaven. He's riding to your rescue. Mounted on a great white horse further in Revelation. Already mounted on his way to rescue you from the power of the enemy. And he comes with everything that he's promised, strength and hope, peace. And underneath me are the eternal arms of the everlasting God. Underneath. I may not see them, but they come. Folks, I have seen and felt and experienced the incredible supernatural grace of God. I see it all through my family. He only gives it to you when you need it. You don't have to sit and say, will I be able to face death and look it in the face? If anyone in my family, there's so many have fear. You don't need it now. You don't have to ask, but you need to be practicing right now in every test that you're going through now. Learn the lesson. Learn the song. And when you have that song, no matter what happens, no matter what comes to you or anyone around you, you'll have the song. And you'll sing it right through till you get to the throne, and there you'll sing it in its glory and all of its fullness. Glory be to God. He will deal with your enemies, he said. He'll chase away every demonic harasser. Your enemies will be exposed as liars. All of those lies the devil been telling you. All the lies. You're going to fall. You're going to fail. You're not going to make it. Those are lies. God said he's going to expose all of that. You maintain your song as a testimony. The part of the song can't be learned in heaven. You've got to have it now. You have to sing it now. No man could learn that song but those which were redeemed from the earth. Can I give you those five verses? Just five simple verses of the song. He rides to my rescue. His arms, everlasting arms are under me. He will prove all my enemies to be liars. He will be my strength and my life in all my battles and crises. That's the song. And you have to believe that and rest upon it. I'm going to close with this thought. It may sound negative, but it has to be said. Do you think for one moment that you can be here on earth as one of his children, murmur and complain, get bitter and angry at God? Oh, how many bitter, angry people I've seen. Angry at God. New York Times has been running a series on how people react to tragedy. Every one of them, it's been anger at God. Shaking a fist at God. And how can you conceive, how can we conceive in our mind that we could live here on earth without confidence in him, without resting in him, without learning his faithfulness, and without asking the Holy Ghost for the power, the strength to sing the song in hard times? Do you think for a moment that you're going to have it when you get there? You haven't learned it. He said the only ones that can sing it are those who learned it on earth. What are you singing when you get before God? You're going to sing about his faithfulness? Are you going to be there as a testimony, as a witness to others? What will you sing? That's how important I feel it is. I woke up a day or so ago in the morning, and I just bellowed out of my heart, God, when's this nightmare end? And God in his love said, be very careful now how you respond. Be careful what you say. I love you, and I know you're hurt, and I know your pain, but I'm God. Years ago, I told you that when Bonnie was in a room by herself, cancer, cobalt treatments, I went out in a country road, and for 2 hours I screamed at God. I went mad at him. I said, I want some answers. First Gwen, and then Debbie, and then Bonnie. And I was just asking God if he was mad at me. For 2 hours, after all the tears had gone and everything, and I told you this, I repeated, door closed. When I was all cried out, God in his love spoke so clear. It was way out in the country road, almost in Mexico, near El Paso. Holy Spirit said, David, Bonnie has two fathers, you and me. Which one loves us the most? I said, you do. David, Bonnie has two fathers, you and me. Which one will do what is right for her and for you? I said, you. His two fathers, David, which one of us holds her in the palm of the hand, you or me? Do you want to hold her? Now, if you want to take it in your hands, you can do it. It'll bring you nothing but despair. You'll never have joy. And I want you to turn Gwen, Debbie, Bonnie, all your children, all your grandchildren, and just put him in my hand. And I want you to trust me no matter what. And I want you to know that if they're in my hands, whatever I do, I have a purpose. I have a plan. And just as Jesus said to Peter, what I do now, you know not, but hereafter you shall know. He said, one day you'll know it. When you know it, you'll rejoice. But you rejoice even more because you know that you trusted me, though you didn't understand. And I have not taken any of my children or my grandchildren out of his hands. I've not taken Tiffy out of his hands. I put Tiffy in God's hands. And my soul is at peace and rest. Now, I have to withstand people who literally, one lady came in to the hospital in Virginia and said, Debbie, I want to know what sin is in your life that this could happen. Debbie said, I'd appreciate it if you just get out the door. I said, honey, you'd be glad I wasn't there. How sad that people can't trust God in their time of sorrow. God's faithful. Folks, I want to tell you, God's faithful. Whatever comes to your life, He's going to give you everything you need in the way of strength and rest and peace and confidence in Him. Don't lose your song. That's your testimony. Will you stand? Hallelujah. If the Holy Spirit's speaking to you this morning, I would appeal to those who have been living in such doubt and fear. You're just swamped with it. Oh, folks, it's so debilitating. It take away the joy of living, the joy of your salvation. If you're not saved, if you're not walking with Jesus, and the Holy Ghost has just touched your heart this morning, maybe somewhere along the surface, the singing or in the preaching, somebody said your heart was tugged. You feel the tug or pull of your heart. Maybe you're here for the first time, and you need Jesus. Just up in the balcony, go to the stairs on either side, and here in the auditorium, come. And those that are in the annex, just go forward, stand between the screens, and I'll pray for you in just a moment. We'll believe the Lord for a miracle in your life. And those of you just say, Pastor Dave, I have got to have the Holy Spirit do something for me today. I don't want to lose my song. I'm asking for those who feel, I really feel I've lost my song. I don't have that confidence, and there's fear in my heart. And I want God to take that fear out of me. And if God's moved you today, for some reason you need prayer, you can follow these that are coming. Those in the annex, those here, look at me for just a moment, please. Not only is he good, but he's not mad at you. He's not mad at you. If you could please get that out of your heart and your mind. God is not angry at you. He's not mad at you. He's come as a Savior. He's come as a loving shepherd to lead you out. of your wilderness of pain and suffering. You see what he does. The suffering doesn't go away. Sometimes for a long season. But he lifts you above the suffering. Pastor Carter's just lost his father, and his mother is quite ill. And yet the song has been maintained, a wonderful song, because God did a miraculous thing in bringing his father to Christ before he departed. That's the faithfulness of God. Look at me now. God's not going to be faithful to me and to the pastors and not be faithful to you, part of the congregation. God's not like that. And you have to be convinced in your heart right now that he is certainly not mad at you. You come to him now and ask him for strength. Ask him for courage. And say, Jesus, I want to tell the whole world that you're good to me. No matter what I'm going through, God, you know what you're doing. I don't have to ask you why anymore. I just say, Jesus, you know what you're doing. Can you believe with me now that he has his arms under you right now? That's what he said, didn't he? He's sliding to your rescue, and he's got his arms under you. You can't see it. Sometimes you can't feel it. But you have to believe it. As you believe it, then the grace will come. Marvelous grace. Would you just pray this prayer with me right now? May the whole congregation pray. Lord Jesus, I come to you in my need. I don't want to fail in giving you praise and thanksgiving when things are hard. Lord Jesus, teach me this song. Help me to practice it. And everything that I face, just one day at a time, to say, Lord, you're going to bring me through this day. And at the end of each day, give you praise. No matter how bad it's been, no matter how dark it seems, I will come home and I'll look up and say, God, you're faithful. God, I'm going to trust you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you have not yet given your heart to Jesus, would you just say it right now? Just bow your head and say, Jesus, I open up my heart to you right now. He said, if you just confess your sins and believe in your heart, you'll still be saved. You don't have to sign a book. You don't sign a paper. You don't have to make any promises. Just say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm going to trust you now. That's what salvation is, trust. But that same faith that saves you keeps you. It keep you till the judgment day. It take you right through to the throne where you can sing this song. Hallelujah. Do you believe God has a stringed instrument for you and that you'll be with us in glory? Raise your hand and thank God for it right now, Lord. I thank you. I praise you. We're going to be one in Christ. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, I ask that every person here, the sound of my voice in the annex overflow and here in the main auditorium, everyone, Lord, that's facing a time of cancer, hospitalization, a family member that's terminal or very ill, Lord, I pray that there not be one in this building that would cast any angry remarks at you. That they would not question you, but just rest in your absolute faithfulness and love. Take out of the heart, pluck out, Lord, any discouragement and any murmuring or any complaining. Because, Lord, you said you do hear it. You said that's a very angering thing to the Heavenly Father. For those that are taught and should know better, oh God, to just rest in you. Bring that rest now to this body, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the conclusion of the message.